Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our regular Monday stream. It seems to be our day now. I managed to spell refresh wrong there, but it's yeah. If you ever can't get the stream to start for you yourself, do just refresh. That does make sure that that you are able to see it, because I've had people sat there for like 5 minutes going, "Didn't realize it started."
No, I'm not up to date. I've got to be 5 minutes behind.
Yeah.
I think Monday, in a certain sense, works better for us because it's towards the start of the week. There's less of a chance me and you are going to be gubbed. And it's also like one of the days where Jess is at work, so we're not like taking an evening away.
That's true. It also is less congested in terms of other people streaming.
Yeah.
It's supposedly a bad day for streaming, but it's never really done us too badly. Good evening, everyone who's filtering in. We'll do our normal YouTube-y stuff later. There's no point doing it now.
Well, at least let a few folk come in before we engage in the rampant shilling.
Well, also before we start proper, I like having a quick little intro period here.
Yeah.
Of just like relaxing, maxing,
a bit of
chilling.
Conversational yeah. foreplay.
A little bit of just normal conversation. We have some number 7 Japanese beers here from Aldi. I grabbed them as I was getting our stir fry materials. So we got some nice, they're actually quite nice dry rice beer kind of things.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised by how dry it is. I always complain to you the fact that even like things that are supposed to be not fruity IPAs or stuff like that, like, oh, that's too sweet, can't do it. Ugh. But this stuff's like dry as a bone. It's great.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I quite like a nice dry, like the Lucky Buddhas are quite like that. The Chinese beers we've had are quite like that. They're
as Leo in the chat. Poo-pooing the rice beer.
Deeply subversive.
Go eat some tins of rotten fish.
No, this is pretty good. It's like what Asahi used to be like before they just turned it into another bottle of Peroni.
Yeah.
Which
bastards.
Is basically what it is. Liquid anime. I will not brook these accusations of liquid anime. But to properly intro what we're talking about here in a general sense is there has been an absolute raft of policing bills. In fact, this channel partly started on a stream about the human intelligence resources bill.
Covert human intelligence sources.
God damn, it's such a mouthful of a bill. But yeah, we didn't see anyone talking about it. That's one of our first kind of proper in-depth streams, and a lot of people got, I don't know, that's considered one of our more black-pilled streams. But again, it's, if only people knew.
No, stop engaging in a transparent description of reality. Yeah, that's too black-pilling.
Don't describe reality. That doesn't quite work. You know, that's only one of them. Since then, we've had, God, we'll go through them here, but I think there's, depending on how you count them, maybe 6 we've had since 2020.
Well, see, it's the thing, though, is one bill becomes another, and then they write a bill to cut 90% of it out because all they really wanted was the 10%, which is part of what we'll witness when we're looking at stuff here.
Yes.
Before we get into some of the first kind of updates on stuff, shall we do the usual YouTube-y stuff of thanking people for coming on?
Thank you guys for coming along. As always, we are still monetized. The best way to get your questions answered is to send a Streamlabs question. We'll double check those every so often, but we still have super chats, we still have memberships, things like that. If you want to support us a little bit financially, also you can send us super stickers, things like that too. There's lots of little YouTube systems.
Yeah, just send us money so we can continue to do streams and buy beer and books and cigars and stuff. I've also noticed Leo in chat has gone from saying we're deeply subversive to suggesting he's now going to force feed me rotten fish.
Which is a bit weird.
That's incredibly subversive, Leo.
S. Smith is a member. He's been a member for quite a while. You get your neat little badges. You get your little stupid kind of... you get your little rewards. I'm trying to do more stuff.
We should really lay into you. Like, join the Vanguard.
Yeah.
Be a supporter of us.
The thing is, we don't make enough content, really, to give people... When we start making more, there might be some more exclusive stuff for members.
Yes.
There's a few members' exclusive polls, a few members' exclusive community posts at the moment, but it's deeply fermented. For the time being, we want to make sure that people get basically our basic output for free.
Yeah.
And we don't want to try and segment too much stuff off because we don't make enough for that. But that's kind of by the by. I'm trying to think. We've got a lot to cover breadth-wise, but hopefully not too much depth-wise.
Yeah.
This might be a slightly shorter stream
Will we
today.
quickly start with a graph for this? Because this will hopefully mix. This will not. People do not worry. You don't have to make sense of everything that is going on here with this graph we're about to get up on screen. However, all you need to know is that large amounts, as we have suggested previously and sort of somewhat demonstrated on stream, of the leverage, the equity, the wealth, and the crypto economy is actually loads of people just lending each other people's already lent money.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of circular lending. I'm sure this is like the financial system at large, but unlike the financial system at large, the crypto ecosystem can have the life support machine turned off at any point. Don't worry, this will become, I don't know why we're harping on crypto at the beginning of the policing bill stream. This is Evelyn's idea, but
it's an interesting thing though, and it's something we were going to cover last week, but we kind of run out a bit of time anyway.
I'm half joking here because the real lead in, and we will stick the landing here, don't worry, is our Bank of England link, which we didn't have time to cover last week, which is reflections on DeFi or distributed finance, digital currencies, and regulation, a speech by John Cunliffe. This is interesting because it'll loop round right at the end when we talk about some of the financial bills. But this is the wider backdrop, as we talk about, of these policing bills, of these crime bills. They cannot be seen in a vacuum. They must be seen as a range of measures in a sweeping change to the way that the financial, legal, basically the financial, legal and enforcement structure in Britain is completely altering. And it is completely altering into a form that interlocks with each other.
Yeah.
It is being turned from one thing, very deliberately, into another thing. There is very clearly an end point in mind, and all of these things move towards that goal. That is not simply ad hoc regulation as these different problems organically come up, emerge, you know, emergent phenomena,
yes,
and all that.
Well, it's funny as well because it's, as we always sort of expected, it's the institutional portion of finance basically turning around to a number of other people who have been doing exactly as they would normally do.
Yes.
And saying, well, you can't do that. That's stupid. Why would you do that? It was always going to fail. We'll have to come and sort, you know. And I think as if we can scroll down towards about the middle of the paragraph, or the middle of the article, sorry.
Yes.
The real sort of meat and potatoes is the portion, yes, these two paragraphs here. That one.
This one here?
Yeah. We'll just quickly go through these.
So we're standing here. Yeah. Long.
I have mentioned some familiar regulatory issues around the organisation and governance of conventional financial firms. There appear in the FTX case also to be familiar issues around the financial instruments involved. Collateral performs a variety of vital function in financial services. It protects lending counterparties from credit risk. It can also serve as margin and clearing processes. The higher the credit quality and the lower the volatility of assets used as collateral, the better suited it is to serving as protection against risk. For this reason, there are stringent conditions on collateral that can, accepted, for example, in central counterparty clearing, which is him basically discussing the cop-out sort of remnants they have of reserve requirements and trying to pretend that there is actually some level of money somewhere that this is all based off of. Unbacked crypto assets are highly volatile, given that they have no intrinsic value.
That's quite funny coming from Mr. Fiat.
Yeah, crypto nerds, BTFO, the Bank of England basically turns around and says, yes for me, but not for thee.
Yes.
They are subject to runs and their value can change very quickly, as we have seen in recent months. Moreover, a firm accepting its own unbacked crypto asset as collateral for loans and margin payments, as there are indications may have happened with FTX and a number of other lending platforms and trading platforms like BlockFi and Three Arrows and all these different institutions seem to have done the exact same thing and all be involved in this. Creates extreme wrong-way risk, in other words, when exposure to a counterparty increases together with the risk of the counterparty's default. Indeed, in the FTX case, there are indications that it could have been a run on its crypto coin, FTT, which triggered the collapse. But they're basically just demonstrating exactly what happened with Northern Rock
Yes.
Like 14 years ago. And then you get right to, I think it's like the second last paragraph.
It's a very long speech here.
Yeah.
I don't think it is the second last paragraph.
It's keep going up a little bit. There we go. Yes, they get in a weird point here as well. I work on a digitally native pound. Digitally native pound.
Yes.
Which is basically an admittance that it's going to be some sort of weird gay NFT thing.
Mm.
It's driven by trends we now see both specifically in payments, including the reducing role of cash, and more generally in the increasing digitization of daily life, those emergent trends.
Yes.
It is motivated by two primary concerns. First, that in a world which new tokenized forms of money emerge, just emerge, do they? Enabled by new technology, we remain able to ensure that all forms of money that circulate in the UK are robust, interchangeable, without loss of value, and denominated our unit of account, the pound sterling. Physical cash plays a role in ensuring that, at present.
At present, yeah.
All forms of commercial bank money in the UK have to be redeemable in cash, Bank of England money, on demand and without loss of value. And we all know, because we're not stupid, yeah, that if you were to, you know, if we all decided to run to the bank and take out 300-400 quid each, this, we'd have this whole thing crippled overnight and the power would be worth nothing.
It wouldn't work. Like I said, this seems like a weird lead into us talking about policing bills, but it will all come into focus, I promise you. It's also a great way of showing that the digital currency future is coming, and they may be tweaking basically how money works, so that the illusion that you could go to the bank and get all your cash out that we have now will potentially no longer be there.
Mm.
That your cash, they will have to admit that your cash does not exist.
Yeah, and carry on here. Given the trends away from physical cash and potentially towards new forms of tokenized money, a digital pound may be needed in future to fulfill the same function. And if you look at the latter half of the next paragraph,
yeah,
it is possible that the development of digital settlement assets will converge on a few large players who will dominate and perhaps control innovation in payment services. We have seen a similar dynamic in the emergence of large internet platforms and marketplaces. A digital pound would provide a digital settlement asset available to a wide variety of private sector innovators and developers of payment services. We're going to offer them our own Visa, basically. Yes. And I find it interesting as well that they use this terminology like settlement asset.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, we're still in the period whether or not they've decided they're going to call this thing money, or are they just going to go straight to like calling it carbon credits that you can trade?
Well, for those who don't know, John Cunliffe, is the governor of the Bank of England.
Yes, I believe he is.
So that's who this is coming from. This is a very clear indication about central bank digital currency, digital pound, and basically socially creditized money. But we've had that clap already. There's another one here, though, which I think is just funny.
Yeah.
That you got up is that. As we move through the digital portion of this into the more physical portion of it, in the US, San Francisco police consider letting robots use deadly force, which is a concerning headline.
Yeah, that's just no. What are you on about? This is normal.
Yeah, the San Francisco Police Department submitted a proposal that would give robots the ability to use deadly force in dangerous situations. Basically, they're talking about bomb robots, blah 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 blah. But really, it could create a moral framework, in quotes, in which we have robots that kill people.
Yeah. However, the SFPD returned the draft with a red line crossing out Peskin's addition, replacing it with a line that gives the robots the authority to kill suspects.
That's quite the altering thing there. It's San Francisco. You know, you've got to take to San Francisco.
Who's part of San Francisco's rules committee?
Mm, yes.
Unanimously approved a version of the draft last week.
Well, that's how things are going in the US. If you think that things are merely dissolving in the UK, but we have a bit of an update to start this proper, which is the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Code of Practice has been published. And it outlines the change in the draft code. I've been over this. Basically, it just shows that what we feared about this bill, that you can undertake criminal action in the pursuit of any investigation, and any government agent at any time can say that they are conducting an investigation. All of that has been left in. And really, there's only small fig leaves here. It takes a long time for this legislation to come into force and for guidance to come out about it. But as we get more and more information, basically it talks about how the how it interfaces with other acts of law and how it basically supersedes them. So a lot of the acts of Parliament really meant to control the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Bill, or the ones that it comes into conflict with, this basically says that that bill overrides them. So we now have a situation where I think they left in the part about minors even. There was going to be a consultation at a later date about the use of minors as human intelligence sources. But as it stands, it is now legal for the police to compel children to commit crimes in pursuit of anything. It doesn't even have to be, you know, there's a review, there's external reviews, but it doesn't even have to be a certain category of crime. It can be anything. Anything is covered by this. It's fully discretionary. This is, like I said, the human intelligence, the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Bill is one of the first things we covered on this channel. If you guys want to go back and listen to it after this, do feel free. It was quite an in-depth video about that, and it will give you a good background about some of the worst excesses of the bills we're talking about. But that's kind of a brief update on where we are here.
We have a little example as well to show what it looks like when people essentially put what this bill justifies into practice.
Yes.
And what you find is not just about policing per se.
No.
It's about who decides to become the police in such a situation.
Yes.
And for some reason or other, charities might just decide to use...
It wasn't charities, it was a local council. Mm. And charities who were involved in the initiatives of the council had to back away from them. But NGOs who were empowered by councils can and have also used these in the past. There was a very famous case a few years ago, you can look it up if you want to, about the local councils using the anti-terrorism laws to spy on families who may not live in a primary school's catchment area. That was one of the most famous cases of this. I think you guys can trust that we're not making stuff up, but see, if you just search in any search engine,
it was
local council schools terrorism laws.
It was a very vague standard that was part of the original hate speech nonsense that Blair put together in the 2003 Communications Act. It was meant to be part of looking at Islamic terrorism.
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought, oh, well, you know, if there's suspicious information, or if you get given, you know, the parents give you this address, but actually the child says they live at this address that's 10 doors down the street and it's out the school catchment area, then you have right to say the fact that, oh, they're trying to hide some element of who they are, or they're up to something suspicious, and gave them an unbelievable amount of scope for just prying on people.
Unfortunately, prevent seems to come up now. But the local councils did use the basically anti-terrorism laws to police parents who may not live in the catchment areas of schools. I'll actually give a link to that maybe later on if I can find it, because it seems that the SEO of that is of the arse pulled out of it by the Prevent program, possibly deliberately. But yes, there was a number of cases in which this happened where anti-Islamist laws were used on parents who might be lying about their postcode, essentially, to get into the kids to a slightly better school. But this is from the Bristol Cable. It's about a local council. And a lot of this you will only find on local news. This is why I try and keep my ears to the ground when looking at this, and this is why I use different search engines and different search terms, because it's the only way to find stuff like this. But, yes, charities distance themselves from council review into spying on SEND parents' social media. SEND is basically an acronym for parents of children with special needs. SEND is an acronym of... I can't remember what it actually stands for.
I'm sure they'll tell us at some point.
I'm not actually sure it does, but as councils prepare to vote on an independent inquiry into alleged online surveillance of parents of children with special educational needs, which is basically what that means. Yeah. Third parties named in an internal report have challenged the council's narrative. There we go. Charities caught in the favor of a Bristol City Council's monitoring of local parents' social media have distanced themselves. Yeah, there we go. The council's fact-finding report into whether... Basically, the council investigated itself and found itself innocent into whether council officers unlawfully spied on parents of children with special educational needs dominated debate in a heated People Scrutiny Committee meeting in September. The report by council lawyers with Jen Smith, one of the parents concerned, branded a whitewash, absolved officers of wrongdoing after emails leaked in July revealed they had harvested material from Twitter and Facebook accounts. The council maintains it did not break surveillance or data protection laws, which it probably didn't. They're so broad that they can do this. It says its actions were necessary to protect a conflict of interest about campaigning online, about the state of local services, often criticising the council while holding lead roles with Bristol Parents Carer Forum. So they were using it to silence somebody who they didn't like who was speaking out, basically. What happened was one of their members was liaising with parents of children with special needs who were going, look, your services are shite. Our children are at risk.
Mm. And then instead of dealing with those concerns, yeah, the council just comes up with a smear campaign based off data scraped from their social media posts.
Yes. And then the entire thing blew up. Yeah, Bristol parents face long delays and inconsistencies around assessment of their children. Blah, 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 blah. It's just the whole case that services aren't...
The paragraph there.
Yeah.
Contact. A national charity named in the fact-finding report that delivered government funding to Bristol Parent Carer Forum has now told Cable it does not condone any organisation covertly obtaining information on families.
Yeah. The funds were cut off in June after the council refused to sign a new partnership agreement. So they're basically saying, I'll fucking do it again.
But this, how do they keep getting away with it?
This is what surveillance laws allow councils to do now without this framework.
Yeah.
This is what the existing framework allows local councils to do parents. It allows them to try and gather dirt on anyone, anywhere, who is trying to criticise them. And that's what this stuff was about.
God, sorry, that goes... I just noticed the portion in there that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
If you keep scrolling down a little bit.
Yes.
Where did it say? It was saying the fact that it was giving them... The counsellors were going out, seeking the information, and trying to connect it to anonymous Twitter accounts. So they were engaging in investigative work. They were not just data scraping. They were actually actively seeking out this information to connect it to other social media accounts that were not publicly stating who they were or weren't.
Yeah, they were essentially trying to go after online whistleblowers and people who were trying to, as you can see, with reason, hide who they were from the council, because the council is out to get them. And all of this is over criticism of services from children, parents of children with probably quite severe disabilities, which is a...
Well, we know what happens to children with severe disabilities in care in the UK.
Yes,
we do. Put in the hands of the government, don't we? Contact pushed back against the suggestion that it intended officers to take such actions which appear to breach the council's own legal guidance around gathering information from social media. The emphasis seeks appropriate authorization and advice. So there, you know, it wasn't our intention for the officers to do this, but under the remit of British state law, they are allowed to.
Well, the thing is, it's investigating, and it is. It's information collating. It's trying to attach people's names to anonymous accounts. It's them attempting to dig dirt on people that are criticizing them. And you're right, this isn't technically spying, but the intent is there. It's about the intent of this. There's another article here as well, which talks about the same thing, which is, well, local authorities aren't your friends. UK local authorities are looking at people's social media accounts as part of their intelligence gathering and investigation tactics. This is talking about that incident, but also talking about the fact that a significant number of local authorities are now using overt social media monitoring as part of their intelligence gathering and investigation activities. Why do local councils have intelligence gathering and investigation activities?
So they have their own units now for being the online Stasi.
There seem to be units within UK councils. If you don't have good privacy settings, your data is fair game for overt social media monitoring. It is supposed to be bad practice, though. This is essentially supposed to be against the GDPR stuff. They're not supposed to be able to take and use your information without your permission. So one hand doesn't really know what the other hand is doing here. There is no quality check on the effectiveness, if someone's surveillance on decision making. This goes into the fact that this is now common practice as part of the child in need assessment. So basically what's happening is, as part of, say if you're somebody who accesses local services, you're complaining.
Mm.
The inference here is that when the council next assesses you,
it doesn't even seem to be that you're complaining.
Mm.
It seems to be here in that first sentence in that paragraph that it is now just a portion of the means testing for any child benefit or child in need benefit that you might get as, oh yeah, we're going to scrape all the data off your social media platforms, whether you publicly state it's you or not.
Yes. Well, what I'm trying to emphasise here is that this, all these laws that we're seeing, all these investigatory powers laws, do not just apply to the police.
Mm.
They apply to anyone in government who is giving any level of investigatory powers, which as we saw with the covert human intelligence sources bill, is it can be anybody. It can be anybody who works for the government, quote unquote, in an official capacity.
But it also means as well, though, that once again, people who do not fall in line with the doctrines and dogmas of progressive society. I mean, good luck getting some amnesty on your council tax bill if you've got a politically incorrect Twitter.
Well, good luck not getting your child taken into care.
Oh, no, of course, there's that whole angle here to it. But I just mean in general, the way that a council could essentially prioritise its enforcement for those who do not support its NGO-funded causes.
So these are, quote-unquote, policing bills. But as we've seen with anti-terror laws, local councils can use these.
Private organisations can use them if they operate a big enough public platform.
Yes, G4S, if they are acting on behalf of the government, can also use these powers. But do keep that in mind as we go through these. But the New Statesman had something that interlinks with our good old friend, the Online Safety Bill, which is ostensibly a policing bill, if you look at it.
Yes.
It creates new offences. As we'll go into later, it creates a lot of new offences now. And it interfaces very heavily with the police system, with the police sector. And it also allows enforcement and a lot of spying. And it very much is... there's a lot more to it than that. But it is one of these rafts of policing bills. This is just great because it's an encapsulation. It was published after we did the last stream on this. But this is from the New Statesman, from a guy called Kieran McCarthy. And it's just called, "The Online Safety Bill Will Set the Foundation for Future Regulation." So they're already setting up what comes after it. It's time to make the bill law and get on with the job of making online life safer.
They're going to come out with some monstrous bill at some point in the next few years. It's going to be like the Digital Society Act or the Online Conduct Act or something that is going to be a complete and utter...
Yes.
You know, like digital bill of rights or whatever, all these catchy sort of phrases they'll have for it. I can... God, they've got the Molly Russell drop.
Yeah, they do. They talk about Molly. It's basically just a bingo card of all the stuff we've talked
Molly
about.
Molly Russell, hardcore pornography, conspiracy theories.
It's just... the conclusion here is just amazing. Internet-style regulation will only be possible with a clear legal authority, and that is what the Online Safety Bill provide. It's far from perfect, and we need the House of Lords to clean it up, which they'll just tack more stuff into it. But it will at least allow us to start solving these problems.
So can we... Because this will be worthwhile later on.
Yeah.
They're going to go through... They're going to run the Online Safety Bill through the House of Lords, an unelected body. Yet, when it comes to the Public Order Act that we're going to look at, in time, it's noted directly by one of the articles that because they're pushing it through what I presume is the House of Lords, that it's them overthrowing democracy.
Yes, basically.
I know it's very bringing up the hypocrisy, but it's just so obvious. Oh well, if we're going against the democratic institutions to impose our agenda, it's all okay.
I'm amazed that all this stuff seems to have been scrubbed from. There's stuff on here from like the Council of Europe and misuse of anti-terror laws and stuff like that. But a lot of the stories, there we go. There's a. I'll just briefly get it
up. That's the the RIPA Act. I've seen that one before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's a brief one about the fact that anti-terror snooping law used for fly tippers and parking. This is 2021. This is more recent.
Oh yeah, you can tell this reason because there's a dumped box of HelloFresh.
Fuck that stuff. Fuck all that stuff. And hello there, Big Brain Content. But yeah, this has happened so many times that it's hard to pinpoint it. But the first one I remember was the local councils against parents in the wrong postcode kind of stuff. They're talking about watered-down approaches. It's basically, this is... The wording here is interesting, but it's interesting because who Kieran McCarthy is. He is the head of the International Foundation for Online Responsibility. And he also is in charge of the .xxx top name domain level.
So the because I think in when you showed me the article from the New Statesman prior,
yeah,
the top line paragraph is about how do we stop our children?
Yeah, it's all about children,
yeah,
child
subjected
protection, children.
To pornography, and yeah. It's written by a man who controls the top level pornography domain.
Yes.
Who's formalized it all.
Yes, it's formalized. They want formalized control and existence of pornography online. They're not anti-porn. They want to be in control of it.
I take it Kevin McCarthy will be one of these people that's scrutineering all the child pornography, reading AI, and making sure that it works.
Yes, basically, yes. But we get into some of the meat of the stuff here, because that's kind of just the entree. This is the background, this is the lead-in. We have the Online Harms Bill, aka the Online Safety Bill, same thing. We have the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Bill. We have all of this stuff that has built this framework, and now going into it, we have even more like pinpointed... legal stuff, like policing stuff on the Online Harms Bill.
We have to make sure that the panopticon serves the highest purpose.
Yes.
And that is making sure that roasties and girl bosses are not embarrassed by their conduct online five, 6 years ago.
New law to better protect victims from abuse of intimate images. The Online Harms Bill has become like the catch-all bill. They're basically saying that, look, this pass this bill and it will.
Can we just scroll up for a second? Look how proud they are.
Yeah.
We are victims because we shared indecent images of ourselves online and other people shared those.
Ooh.
We had no foresight and that's everyone else's problem.
Basically, yes. It's very girl boss. I was on OnlyFans a couple of years ago.
I had a side hustle.
Yeah. But now those images are nobody's but mine.
Yeah, Richard Crook in the chat was a roastie. It's better if you don't know.
Yeah, it's better if you don't know.
Do you ever have good Sunday dinners? Because you'll never be able to look at them the
same
way.
Do you ever had you ever had like a roast beef sandwich and they just can't cut the roast beef right and it's all like horrible shavings? Anyway. roast beef. Everyone's telling me to stop. I will stop. But yeah, this is really about down-blousing and upskirting and, oh, we'll stop all the greasy perverts with the Online Safety Bill.
I was about to stop. Well, see, it doesn't matter nowadays because most women just wear fucking plastic leggings that are painted onto their arse. There is no modesty nowadays, you
I remember the festival weekend when I was coming back. On the train, and there was actual public nudity. Like, there were people just walking around naked, and I'm like not like people had like, you know, like mesh underwear,
yeah.
Basically. And some people just weren't wearing tops.
Well, I think I told you that
it's just like,
when
what?
We were going to the Witan the morning of the Friday, I got on a taxi here to go to the train station, and like the woman driving a taxi was like, oh, you're not going to one of the festivals, are you? I was like, oh, no, I'm a fuck. And she's like, good, because I've just had 2 14-year-old lassies basically half naked in the back of my taxi. Ugh. And I'm deeply ashamed.
Oh, that's so awful. Good luck that wasn't, let's say, what were the old categories that the Rotherham men, that's it. Rotherham Imam. It wasn't one of those taxi drivers. But the... this is why we're talking about the online safety bill as a policing bill, because of things being taxed.
It's under, if you go to the UK government website, it's under the Crime, Justice and Law section.
Yeah. But the big one, that there was the whole... Do you guys remember the Kill the Bill riots slightly?
Well, though, I noticed a thing the other day, actually, that some of the people have finally been arrested from that. They've arrested all of about 12 folk from the several thousand deep violent protest.
Well, there was also like very, very... You'll see that the allowable pushback here is from Liberty, who used to be... Who did they used to be?
It used to just be the civil liberties folk, which we all know as PIE, the Paedophile Information Exchange, Harriet Harman and the Labour Party and all their stuff during the 90s.
Basically, Liberty was and still is a pro-pedophile organisation. They are the previous kind of like left front rights organisation that included a lot of the early LGBT rights stuff, which also included a lot of the pedophile stuff. The US versions included NAMBLA, and the UK versions included the Pedophile Information Exchange. So that's who Liberty is. But it's funny that this, you're only allowed to talk about the policing bill through the lens of Gypsy, Roma, and Traveller rights.
these people don't use the internet. What do they fucking care?
Yeah, the policing bill. What happens and what now? Government policing bill and now... now the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act, because they've changed the name of these bills about 15 times to confuse people and confound the news cycle, which received royal assent on 28th of April 2022, is a huge and dense piece of legislation with seriously worrying consequences. Over-policing, particularly young black men, this is the pushback. Like this is the allowed narrative about this. It's about gypsies, queers, and blacks.
What the hell is Sisters Uncut? Is that some gypsy thing?
I have no idea.
Led by Sisters Uncut and Kill the Bill, a year of public protest demonstrated the strength of feeling against the bill pushed it to the front of the news agenda.
The Kill the Bill movement set up by MI5 to create agitators which make public support for the bill and create its own justification network. Bringing out the same renter protesters they have at all of these events that they want to justify stuff. It's not conspiratorial to say that the Kill the Bill protests were staged in order to make sure people wanted the policing bill. It's very clear that if you create a situation of lawlessness, like what happened in the US, you will allow whoever it is who seems to be in power to get away with what they would want to get away with in order to get rid of it.
Order from chaos or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, it very much is. What is removed from the bill? These threats to protest were defeated for good. The offence of locking on and being equipped to lock. Basically, people, the climate protesters have won in that they can still glue their faces to pavements. Interference with major transport networks. Again, the climate protesters. A lot of the stuff that's geared towards us was left in the bill. All of this stuff is superfluous. All of it is to do with the ineffectual protests of people like Just Stop Oil, which are used as laser focus ways to create justification for these laws. That's how the sausage gets made.
Well, you've got to remember what's most important. In addition, new police powers which will entrench the danger of police interactions, particularly for capital B black men.
Yes.
And survivors of domestic abuse and criminal exploitation. Amended so that there must be a robust pilot and a parliamentary vote before they roll out. I mean, this is where it starts to get therapeutic, and you start to get into the social workers with guns aspect of it, which on a completely different tangent, I noticed this horrendous video from like somewhere in Detroit the other week on like the Live Leak page on Telegram.
Oh, God.
where they're doing a wellness checkup on some guy who's a known drug addict. And so it's a male police officer with a female non-police, but community worker, NGO, charity kind of person who's there for a well-being check. And they're there. This guy's a junkie in his garage, sleeping flat in his bed. They break into his house, wake him up. He comes out of bed, like, what the hell's going on here? The woman who's the care worker gets startled, and then the cop opens fire on the guy while he's in his bed. Because that's how, having these people who are not, au fait with intense and violent situations, that, it's so much safer when you have them there to freak out and set everyone else off.
It's very, there's all that kind of stuff to it, and this the objections to all of these policing laws are being framed as, but what about these groups that the public hates?
Yeah, no, I mean, can you imagine if, which will probably happen in the near future, that these like fat, frumpy mid-30s women that seem to be like PCSOs nowadays, imagine they were all just run about with tasers.
Yeah, you're all
You'd be
gonna
like
die.
12-year-old boys just tased on the street for trying to nick a pack of sweets and crap like that. It's just gonna be utter nonsense.
There's interesting stuff here that they talk about the creating a buffer zone around Parliament, which is really
Oh, a green zone.
a
We have a name for that.
shit hits the fan. You can't go near Parliament, you'll be shot. You can't even go near it.
And explain to me this one. They're criminalizing one-person protests.
Yes.
Does that mean our existence has just been criminalized?
Basically, yes. Well, the one person protest thing is interesting, as you pointed out that if they decide to apply if they decide to apply protest laws to the online space, because there's a lot of language in the online safety bill which codifies the internet as real life, which I think is the real step here, in that if they're criminalizing a one-person protest, they could argue that your personal Twitter account is you undertaking a one-person digital protest.
Well, it was the same thing in the extremism report we were looking at the other day.
Yeah.
They were saying it without saying it, that you being able to use social media freely without being constantly bombarded or silenced on one end of an equation
Yeah.
means that if you're free to engage with content as you please, you will inevitably become Hitler.
There's a whole thing. There's a BBC article that I didn't want to include that talks about they've criminalized trespass. They say which threatens the way of life. Basically, that's such a supportive
But
clause of
it's
the bill.
already illegal to
Yes.
trespass in England and Wales.
Yes.
So what are they criminalizing?
I
It's
know.
already a crime. Unless they're going to now criminalize it in Scotland when you used to have like walkers' sort of rights and stuff like
Well,
that, or
they're
ramblers'
framing this as like,
rights.
oh, what about the poor gypsies that invade people's farmland and destroy their
It's, yeah,
livelihoods?
steal their cars and their
Yeah.
bikes and their kids and stuff like that. Or have they got a voter ID thing further down there? Let's see. The Elections Bill, also due to pass through Parliament this week, will introduce mandatory voter ID, which is likely to block huge numbers of people from voting, particularly
Particularly
those
those
in
in my.
marginalised groups.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Judicial Review Bill attempts to make it harder to challenge the government in court and changes the rules so that even winning a case might not be worthwhile. But we knew that a long time ago.
Yes.
But I wonder again, is this another instance where we're seeing technocrats basically using inclusion and diversity as a way to say, well, you can't just have people with their driving license voting because that means the people who can't drive can't vote, so there needs to be the national digital ID.
That's the next logical step, is that create situation that disadvantages marginalized people, create solution which is digital ID. That's what this again talks about. It's very, very clear that the opposition in quotes here is meant to bolster normal public support for these bills, because nobody who isn't a pro-pedophile activist like Liberty is could read this and go, oh, yeah, that seems like a normal justification. It makes it again turns this into a political dialectic rather than these being.
Because if we scroll down to the bottom here as well, sorry, the just a paragraph above that in the last one's last section. Perhaps most worryingly, the government is planning to replace the Human Rights Act, for which over 20 years has protected us from abuse, from abuse of power. Now, that's the EU Human Rights Act. The Human Rights Act from the EU that allows them to have a bill that can arrest you through the EU arrest warrant in any one of the 26 states.
Yes.
Without any prior knowledge or sort of cooperation with a national government. The EU police force could just come and arrest you as and when.
Yes.
So that was a really effective Human Rights Act, that.
It's very much about having the right bad legislation. Mm. That's what all these groups like Liberty are about. They're about you will be destroyed in the politically correct way. And that's all they are. And that's why they are so ineffective at holding any of these bills to account, really.
Well, because I noticed as well, the last section that they were talking about there was basically like, don't worry, we're going to make loads of punch cards that we can hand out at protests. You know, our experienced and advice information team is working flat out to produce a range of new materials that bring everyone up to speed with the new protest and policing laws and help them to stand up for their rights. So we're not going to fight these laws, but what we are going to do is create a whole new technique and approach to protesting that allows us to protest within the rules.
Basically, but we need to raise at least 17,500. Basically, it's just like, give us money and we'll create useless placards and
information packs.
Yeah, and we'll give it all to pro-pedophile organisations instead. Because we're Liberty.
Cards and other materials for activists on the ground.
So this is why there is no organised opposition to this, because this is supposedly the bleeding edge of organised opposition, and all they want to do is legalise noncery.
They just want to formalise it.
Yeah. This is the full text here. I don't think we have anything that it's a fair balance needs to be struck. They talk about why the measures are needed. They basically just use the whole we're going after Extinction Rebellion.
Mm.
The first paragraph here is that over recent years, certain tactics used by some protesters have caused a disproportionate impact on the hard-working majority seeking to go about their everyday lives. And the Liberty comes in and goes, what about the gypsies and climate freaks?
But see, there's also like the there is an air of the return to Fresh Prince.
Yes, there is.
Oh, you know, that these protesters are stopping people from engaging in their rootless bugman lives. Stop that, you radical leftist. You're making people notice how bad their lives are.
Well, one of the ones I want to discuss in more detail is this one in the Telegraph.
Mm.
Because this is pure, unadulterated, it's almost like a hand tip. You can almost see the cards in this. Because the police have always had the power to stop these protests. They've always had the investigatory powers to stop people causing public nuisance. They have always had the power to go in and freeze the finances of people undertaking illegal action, which is one of the big tells that this is being allowed to happen, that their finances have never been frozen. Here we have the Telegraph doing the raw version of what you're supposed to think, which is the law privileges just stop all revolutionaries above the public and it's becoming intolerable. These activists are extreme and the police are doing far too little to prevent them from disrupting our lives. And then what does the therapeutic state do? What does the government come do? It comes in and says, just give us one more power and you won't have climate hippies in front of your car as you get to work. Our hands are tied by these laws, by these human rights laws, by all of this. They don't even tie their hands. As we see with the provisions in all of these, the provisions in these laws are not meant for Extinction Rebellion. They're not meant for any of the groups currently. They are meant for us when this new society takes form, the digital currencies come out, your bank account is effectively drained and you can only spend it on certain things that you have the carbon credits for. And when people go out there to protest it, because they believe in the civil rights movements, they believe there will be like the 60s.
They'll just suspend your carbon credits. Yeah.
They believe it'll be like the 60s, and you walk towards Parliament and you will get mowed down.
Well, let's not forget what happened in the 70s and the 80s. There was a large amount of social disruption, there was a lot of protest, and there was the union movements. They really reached their head in the late 70s. And then Margaret Thatcher gave everyone a mortgage.
Yeah.
and that sort of quelled everything there and then, really.
Well, it starts off with Section 137 of the Highways Act 1980 says in defence, if a person without lawful authority or excuse in any way willfully obstructs the free passage along a highway. So it's already illegal and has been illegal for a very long time. But what the government argues is, well, they're saying their reasonable excuse is right of protest, and they're giving them the most favourable interpretation that the law never would. Saying that the earth is going to die because of cow farts is not a reasonable excuse for blocking a highway. It can't be argued in court.
It's almost like he's speaking to children as well. Look at the third paragraph there. The police are timid in enforcing the law. No shit, Sherlock. In mid-October, two activists suspended themselves above the Queen Elizabeth II Bridge, thus closing the Dartford Crossing, probably the busiest pinch point of the busiest motorway in the country. It took Essex police 2 days to remove and arrest them. In September, another block at Junction 3 of M25 kept 18,000 drivers stuck for hours, some blocked for hospital treatment or school runs. Because this was the thing as well that I noticed they were talking about, and we mentioned this last week, that all of a sudden, you know, the Just Stop Oil protest happens on the M25 and a few funerals are missed. And oh my God.
Yeah.
It's the tribulations. It's worse than the Holocaust. But, you know, all the funerals, the marriages, all the family time that was killed over the last 2 years during lockdown.
Yeah.
That was a worthy sacrifice.
It's very much, again, it's therapeutic state stuff. It's we sanction what is reasonable and what is not reasonable, and they are using what are actually very isolated instances I've never encountered personally. I know I don't drive particularly at the moment because I use the train because it's faster for what I do, but I've never encountered anyone who's personally seen any of these protests.
No, neither.
It's not something that really affects people's everyday lives. It's only something you see in media. So that's the amplified effect of it, really, and that this is being given to us and spoon-fed to us as an excuse for these policing bills. I don't know if it goes into some of the Just Stop Oil overall analysis problems. Because Policy Exchange has been involved in a lot of these laws.
Well, see, to look at the one above, though.
Yeah.
I find this upsetting. I'm just old enough to remember when pedestrians could pass through Downing Street unchallenged. It was considered a proud aspect of a parliamentary democracy that the Prime Minister lived in a mere street that we could walk down it. That freedom has long since succumbed to the threats of terrorists and mobs.
Yeah, they did that. It wasn't them just erecting these massive security gates and then saying, terrorism. That's one of the things that it's such an arse-backwards way of looking at it. No, they decided to do that. They created a security state and then they created justifications for it.
Look at them absolutely take the glove off and give them a punch in two paragraphs later.
Yeah.
The first explanations who the protesters are. The organisations involved have different names. Extinction Rebellion, Insulate Britain, Animal Rebellion, Just Stop Oil, but the same people. They are extreme, calling for revolution and apocalyptic, declaring this civilization is finished and flirting with the idea of suicide as a response to climate grief.
Yeah.
That's stuff that people would have put in, like, you know, the early stuff covering Extinction Rebellion in 2020, and we're like, this is a psyop, this is shit, these people are all part of some suicide cult.
Yeah. It's weird, because it then goes on to
oh, it's Policy Exchange again.
Yeah, it reveals that some protesters have had to sign a declaration in which they formally pledge to take part in action which will lead to my arrest, which they will undergo a one-day non-violent training. It's very much the reason a Human Rights Act of 2000. Our indigenous law has been contradicted by the right to protest, European Brexit. It hits all the high points. And it really just comes in. A public order bill is going through Parliament. It has no helpful provisions on any of the above. One amendment sees create a 150-metre buffer zone around abortion clinics to prevent anti-abortionists approaching pregnant women. The penalty could be 6 months imprisonment.
When has this ever happened in the UK?
Yeah, that's never happened in the UK. The public order bill is aimed at these people, and all these laws that they keep coming up with are aimed at these people, and he's going, no, more laws. Policy Exchange tells me we need more laws, more laws. Human rights, Brexit, I'm in the Telegraph.
Yeah, as with so much Rights-based legislation, the current state of our law privileges tiresome activists over the freedoms of people in general. And doing so, it damages our model of policing by consent and drives us towards taking the law into our own hands.
It's big boomer truth there about policing by consent.
Well, vigilante justice against activists we don't like. By God, I thought they'd never justify this.
Our policing by consent state.
But, I mean, I don't know if we want to... We can quickly skip the Guardian one and come back to it. I want to bring up... Because Morgoth made a post about this.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago. That's, again, bang on this notion of the NGOs set up the radical environmental groups. They go out, cause a load of stir.
Yeah.
Completely no coverage, baby gloves for 6 months, a year. They come out with this public order bill that has all these rules in it.
Yeah.
That when you read it, becomes very clear it's actually not directed at them, it's directed at us, it's directed at the anti-vaccine protests.
Yeah.
It's directed at the protests you'd have at your LGBT drag queen story or passionist that and the next thing. And then all of a sudden they take the kid gloves off and they batter these Extinction Rebellion groups and there's no political capital and letting them run free anymore.
Yes.
I thought that was quite funny because he obviously looked at this and seen the exact same thing we're seeing. It's really weird how Just Stop Oiler doing the exact style of protest that the British government was looking to clamp down on earlier in the year. Introduced new criminal offences of locking on and going equipped to lock on, thereby criminalising the protest tactic of individuals securing themselves to others, objects or buildings intended to cause serious disruption. There's your one-man protest there.
Yeah, yeah.
Extend stop and search powers for police to search for and seize articles suspected to be used for protest-related offensive. You better not have super glue on you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a protest-related offence, though, if you look at the way UK law is, could be holding material that could offend, which is a big one. Introduce serious destruction prevention orders. So anyone who's a protester, again, in any context, can be subject to an order that says that they can't protest. As always, it's the little extras they slip in which makes you have to which I'll offer now. The Mail and GB News will ensure that the public applaud the government clamping down on their own AstroTurf. Yeah, you're literally going to need you already do need a license to protest, actually. That's existed since the 30s.
It's called being a political party.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you also can't... If you tell protesters to wear something similar...
You get done under the political uniform stuff.
Which, basically, the right to protest in the UK was eliminated because of Sir Oswald Mosley.
Yes.
We have not actually had any right to protest in the UK since then.
No.
Because Nazis. And that's just the point of history. And if you're uncomfortable with that, you shouldn't be watching our streams. But here's the big thing. We have another bill now. From the policing bill, from the Kill the Bill, which has... This is a laser-focused anti-climate protest bill. This is the pure uncut, there's no pretension here. It's called...
I find this hilarious, though. That last bill, they were championing the fact that it was going to be pushed through the House of Lords.
Yeah.
Rapid sort of... putting forward of necessary legislation, and then all of a sudden we get a petition signed by 300,000 people that demands the Home Office drops an attempt to overthrow democracy.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just having a quick look. There's one of these that I wanted to make sure that we had. There's a BBC one in here that has an extremely interesting point that I am trying to remember right if I misquoted it. Because it talks about the fact that there was a part of the bill that was removed, so it was added to by the Lords. Because what happens is in the Lords, they keep adding these different bits to these bills to make them a bit more. To make them a bit more regime friendly. And I'm trying to think of what it had in here, because it talks about the fact that they basically made. That's it. They.
Or misogyny is a hate crime.
Yeah. They turned Scrap the Vagrancy Act, which makes it a crime to beg, which basically gives carte blanche while he's begging gangs. And the big one was that their additions make misogyny a hate crime by giving the courts the power to treat misogyny as an aggregated factor in any crime and increase sentences accordingly.
So, much like they have done with other hate speech regulation, they are finding their first avenue to formalise a code of privilege within law.
Yes.
That if you are a man who commits a crime on a woman, there will always be a predicated semblance of misogyny as the aggravating factor towards that crime.
The way that this was all covered was that the House of Lords has stepped in and tempered this bill and made it more reasonable, whereas they have made it impossible to tackle begging, and they have made it a hate crime. They've turned misogyny into a national hate crime. So now, if you do a crime on a woman, that is no longer a crime, that is a hate crime. And that, as you learned, that creates massive powers for different police forces to essentially go into other police forces' jurisdictions and pursue crimes.
Well, what you're getting here, actually, is a formalisation of some of the policy that Police Scotland just decided to implement itself as a single organisation.
Yes.
And that's maybe the only thing that's really stopped this being accelerated as quickly UK-wide as it has, is the fact that you do have Metropolitan Police, Greater Manchester Police, this, that, and the next thing. And that they are able to set policy for themselves that does not become national police policy all in one swoop. Whereas in Scotland, there's just Police Scotland. So if all of a sudden they decide that, well, as in the case that happened to me, we don't need to inform you when we're going to take your details from an institution because we're looking at you and we believe you've committed a crime, you just go and do it.
Yes.
There's no hesitation, no knowledge, no letting you know what's happening. They just, yep, we're going to hoover up your information and go after you.
Again, this is how the sausage gets made. The Commons creates a bill which is considered too extreme, in quotes. It goes to the Lords. The Guardian and Co. celebrate it being tempered by the Lords, but the House of Lords adds all of this fluff to it, like misogyny, hate crime, lack of vagrancy laws, things like that. It basically, you have this dance done between the House of Commons and the House of Lords, which the House of Lords is trying to do a basically pro-big society, pro-social therapeutic state stuff, and the House of Commons is pretending to do a law and order dance. But really what they're doing in between them is creating a massive amount of new UK law, new UK offences, that makes it very much impossible to undertake any kind of distant action in the UK from any perspective, but especially from what is a populist, in quotes, perspective.
I'm sorry,
but especially from our perspective.
But have you considered the fact that you should only protest for things the regime likes?
Yes. So it's the public order bill is, it's basically all the stuff that they got taken out. And they can invoke parliamentary privilege they want, and they will make people beg for them to do this, because they're very much phrasing this as, this is to stop the climate protests.
Look as well, what's that, fourth or fifth paragraph down there. The new public order bill has already attracted controversy, coming hard on the heels of the Police Crime Sentencing and Courts Act.
Yeah.
This is building on more legislation, which extended the restrictions on public protest and was branded draconian by peers and lawyers. The bill will receive a number of measures struck out by peers from the PCSC Act when it was considered by the Upper House last December. They include orders that can ban named individuals from joining... Named individuals? Where have we seen that before?
Yeah.
From joining protests, and an expansion of police powers to stop and search people on the grounds they might be planning to commit a protest-related offence, including many newly created by the bill, as well as powers for suspicionless searches around protests. I mean, the banning named individuals from joining protests is, that's like the full CCP.
Yeah,
that's you are an individual that's no longer allowed to legally, publicly organise.
Well, if you look at, like I said, the wider context of this is the Online Safety Bill, which is this in the online space. And it's the central bank digital currency stuff, which is the social credit aspect of this. If you look at all of these coming together, which is that you have... What is a protest, basically? If they could, say, define our No Moss events as a protest, and then ban us from attending protests...
You're banned from your own events.
Yeah, you're banned from your own events. And that's very much what they can do and what they will do, in that all forms of organization in a public or semi-public setting will fall under these laws. And they will be able to be invoked by local authorities, we talked about, by police, and by whatever government agency feels like invoking them.
Mm-hmm.
And the law of unintended consequences is very much what this is meant to have. I don't think people are seeing the joined-up picture with all of these, especially when you factor in things like the Covert Human Intelligence Sources Act, which means that you can allow people to commit crimes in pursuit of an investigation, which means that we will have agitators possibly within crowds at events attacking people, committing assaults, and then being unable to be prosecuted for it.
Mm.
Or even committing murders and being unable to be prosecuted for it, because that is how the bill is worded. Again, it very much talks about Greenpeace and climate, and the dialectic here is save the right of climate protest. Nothing is being said about any other kind of protest.
Oh, no, of course not.
And about any other kind of, like, just in civil life.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to make sure you can protest about how killing babies is a moral good and about how the world's going to end.
Yeah. You can glue, you know, you can glue yourself to the M25, the police can't do anything. You can chain yourself to the QE2 bridge, it'll take police 2 days to take you down. But if you go within 200 feet of an abortion clinic as a protester, you can be put in prison for 6 months.
Yep.
It's very revealed preference. But this is all very Guardian fluff. And again, the dialectic is Telegraph versus Guardian.
But see, that's the thing as well, is that I think some people who are not either fully read up on legislation or not from the UK will not understand how long this stuff has been building. I mean, the one I always come back to,
the Rave Act,
is, oh, not just that, but the Special Demonstration Squad.
Yes.
Which was I think the Guardian of all people report on it many moons ago, and it's actually a great article because it's from their kind of period where they're talking about, you know, the G20 riots and stuff like that. The one from 2014.
This one?
Yes. I'd actually get that up because it's worth having a little look around. Yes. I've got some spare time. Within this basically documents the stories directly from one of the officers that served as part of the Special Demonstration Squad. And he was sent out with specific goals to join environmentalist groups that were not co-opted by things like Greenpeace.
Yeah.
And through social and sexual subterfuge, they were to disorganise these groups by just sleeping with as many of the members as they could, by setting them off against one each other. Like, you know, almost like the kind of stuff we see on Telegram nowadays, not to quite the same extent, but, you know, your disruptors.
Yeah.
These people were specifically picked out of the police to act as disruptors in movements that the government was concerned about.
It's very, all of this has been expanded to such a great extent that this exists turbocharged now. Mm. Most likely, if you look at Prism and things like that, you look at the online space, you look at the way surveillance is, Human Intelligence Sources Bill. I keep mentioning it all the time, but it's one of the most egregious pieces of legislation that's ever been put in the books in this country. You are probably surrounded by feds on the internet, and especially if you start trying to take action in real life. I would be very surprised if some of them hadn't appeared in our spheres and possibly had appeared specifically in relation to our content sometimes.
Yeah. This might be a slightly different one. This is one that goes back to where the Special Demonstration Squad came out of, which is actually a different aspect of Special Branch.
Yes.
We can maybe try and bring that one, because I know I've got a link for it somewhere.
We'll bring it on at some point. But
it just, to show to people the fact that this has been a constant aspect of how the British population has been policed by its governments and its policing sort of institutions for 50, 60 years nearly. You know, we can really see the fact that the from the Mosley kind of protests and the Battle of Cable Street onward, there has been a constant effort to make sure that one subset of protesters is always put down and another set are lifted up.
Oh, I didn't realise it here because I had to refresh the page because Streamless is terrible, but at, right at the beginning of the stream, sorry, we got a donation from Yakub Catboy 2024 who donated $5 and said, notices of things and self-denying Twinch Unite. Terrible, terrible, but also kind of base, but terrible. Thank you for the donation. Sorry I missed that. And sorry if I've missed any, because Streamlabs is quite bad at serving them. I don't think I've missed any super chats. I just want to try and make sure we're up to date with stuff. We're not finishing off yet, though. There's another one I'm going to go over here just briefly, which is the two economic crime bills in the wake of Mawar in Ukraine. Because we're going full circle here. These link back in with the Bank of England stuff we talked about at the beginning. I know.
We've only gone and done it again.
We can't keep getting away with it. But basically, the key amendments to the Economic Crime Bill give recognition to the accountability, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting if you look at what is going on here. Because the Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Bill, with the original bill, it has reforms to companies' house.
Sorry, can we just go to the one before? Building upon this, the government tabled the Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Bill in September to further tackle challenges identified by stakeholders.
Yeah.
Wonder who these stakeholders are.
Bill is currently going on scrutiny. Reforms to prevent the abuse of limited partnerships, additional power to seize and recover suspected criminal crypto assets. Here we go. Reforms to give businesses more confidence to share information in order to tackle money laundering and other economic crime. New intelligence gathering powers for law enforcement and the removal of basically unnecessary burdens on businesses. It all sounds very boilerplate, but it was originally set up as a anti-foreign intervention thing. And really, it makes it much more difficult for you to operate a business without giving huge amounts of data to the government.
Well, what it also means as well is that there is already legislation in place for, I don't know, say for example, certain other financial institutions decide to audit large crypto lenders and trading platforms and demand that they give up one half of their keys to where all of their equity is. That there is already basically legislation in place that means that when that information makes it into the hands of UK police forces, that they can go after that stuff straight away.
Basically, what they're talking about here is that the second bill is meant to create a situation in which, we're close with government and parliament, I find the paragraphs talking about economic crime levy, stuff like that. It's a lot of it is basic tackling fraud, chest beating, but in amongst it really is that there need to be extra burdens for verifying documents, company auditing. It really links in with the central bank digital currency stuff, because as the financial system gets more locked down and laws, sorry, what was this? Sorry,
I was going to come down. I'll let you finish what you're saying, but
go ahead.
I just noticed there was another. This takes place in a complex landscape for audit. And we'll work across ICAEW with members and stakeholders to ensure that concerns and suggestions are expressed to the government, says Miller. There is a particular need to address the challenges of providing verification for persons applying to be registered on the ROE. If verification is not a practical process that can be undertaken confidently by firms, then it risks allowing anti-competitiveness with firms unable to register, or leaves a system open for potential abuse through the use of firms that may not understand the requirements or current legal consequences of presiding the service. I mean, is this also
Attributes Network? It's to do with the Attributes Network.
I was going to say, but it's directly almost tied up to your stakeholder eco concerns.
Yes, it is. A lot of it is. This is basically kind of a do-all couple of bills. It is geared towards preventing people from circumventing Russia sanctions initially. But there's a huge amount built into it that seems to lead nowhere until you factor in what the Bank of England is doing. And until you factor in what is being done with all the central bank digital currency, with the online harms bill, and with the legislative framework of crypto and central bank digital currency, kind of the oh god damn it, my brain's not working correctly. It's getting too late, guys. It's only 8:15.
See, I noticed here they've got just the bottom paragraph. Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, ICAEW has released extensive guidance and other material to ensure that members are fully aware of their responsibility under the sanctions regime. In 2022, the ICAEW also released a training film, All Too Familiar. Maybe we should watch that to close out the stream. Which was created in collaboration with HMRC as part of a public interest initiative. Now, why would HMRC be involved in the geopolitical interests of sanctioning a foreign government?
A lot of it is as well. It also strengthens the... that's it. It doesn't say it in here, but one of the worst articles, it strengthens the unexplained wealth orders, which basically means if you are somebody who inherited a bunch of off-the-books gold from your granddad, let's say your family has assets that have not been registered in the financial system before, and you try and liquidate those assets, the government can go, prove you own this.
Mm.
If your threshold of evidence doesn't meet what we think is necessary, this is ours now.
Yeah, give us the bill of sale for that, and if you don't have it, it's ours.
Basically, the big thing that came out of these two is that outside of system, perfect legitimate outside of system economic activity is even more impossible with these two bills in place.
How are you going to fill out your ecological compliance forms for your, you know, cash in hand, man in van business?
Yes. I'll try and get the thing up here. It's to do with the whole thing about, really, these unexplained wealth order stuff has existed for quite a long time, but the strengthening of them by these new laws has become a very big aspect of, unexplained wealth orders make life harder for criminals, compliance experts. Let's just get this one.
And that is from British Columbia, Vancouver, I believe, but I presume the laws will be very much the
extremely
same.
Similar, yes, because they are basically copying British law in doing this. It is something that exists throughout parts of the Anglosphere. I think that seizing assets, kind of proceeds, tracking people, organized crime. It's like crypto, like the bans on crypto eventually will be geared towards crypto is elite, is the only use for legal activities, since we now have central bank digital currencies, which do other functions of crypto, but legal. The unexplained wealth orders are very much geared towards if you have money that has not been surveilled by the financial system, it should not exist and you should not exist and you are dangerous.
Mm.
It's very much a guilty until proven innocent way of dealing with cash. But that's the kind of what I wanted to go into, is that we have two economic crime bills that have been proposed and passed since the declarations, essentially a declaration of war on Russia. And we don't yet fully know what the implication of those will be. I just think people should be aware of them. Is there anything you think we've missed? I'm going to make this a relatively snappy stream, so...
Not that I can think of, no.
All right, well, there's a couple of updates, I guess, I can give. While we've been away, I'll go on the Substack here. I put out a long piece on Substack. I'll put it in the chat here because we do still have our written materials that we put out occasionally. There'll be more of them. It's a piece called The Holy Mount. I know a few of you have already read it. I've already got some of your feedback from it, so thank you. But the writing is still coming out slowly. It's just over 3,000 words. It's a long one.
Mm.
I know you've got some of your stuff on here. The speeches from Nomos are also on here if you feel like reading those. The Nomos website I haven't put back together yet. I'm not being... Well, I need to do that. It's a matter of... we're not really using it right now, but it needs... The emails, again, work. I talked about this last week, but I've not fully put the website back together in yet because I've just not really had...
We have also had just a lot of real-life related things going on at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
we've had a lot of real-life stuff going on, but don't worry. The Nomos stuff is still going on. We'll still be doing it. I just need to rebuild the website because we had a bit of a balk with our dedicated box, since we do actually kind of... We're in control of our own hosting. Or at least a good friend of mine is. So we do have a very, very secure, but also a sometimes slightly subject to you know, we're doing things a bit indie, and that can bite us in the ass sometimes. As always, I will do my normal YouTube-y stuff now, which is do interact with the videos if you do. We want to keep seeing them. Whatever interaction you want to do, comments are useful. Not I know you guys do your interaction comments, but actual feedback is useful as well. We will also create a document here in the comments, and I'll put out a community post tomorrow, including all the links we've used today. This stream was mostly just to make people aware of the interlock between all these bills and how they work with some of the other stuff we've been talking about. So this works very well with last week's stream. It works very well with the War on Terror Comes Home, because the stuff we've not really had time to talk about and the stuff that we might talk about in the future is how all of this interlinks with terrorism offences. Because when you see the word, you know, an offence or a protest-related offence listed, that can mean anything. That can mean any offence.
I think as well, I quite like the position we are in at the moment, where we have covered enough things regularly that we... Not necessarily we can't do streams on single issues, we still can, but it's nice that on a Monday we can collate stuff from the previous week from all the different agendas that we have covered differently and sort of stick them all together. And I hope that other people are sort of enjoying the fact that we can more succinctly give you an update. You know, well, here's all the things you might have missed last week that have happened on these three or four different sort of vectors.
Yes. One final super chat here. It is a super chat. We have so many. From Glow in the Dark says, Distant Right need to solidify behind key people. We are. And shut up if you're more a pleb or don't have time to study, myself included. Disruption works on us plebs more. We need to be more reserved. Basically, yeah, I think a lot of people need to filter out noise. I think he's talking in relation to the stuff about agitators and Special Demonstration Squad. Always assume that people who come across as disruptive are being deliberately disruptive, because a lot of the time they are.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of, let's say, stupidity in the past couple... Well, throughout the whole... Throughout all of it, really, there's a lot of stupid things that have been going on, and a lot of you know, noise that to signal disruption. I think a lot of people, as we keep talking about, need to focus on real life stuff. Need to focus on material things like policing bills, looking at what our legal changes are coming in, look at how the way the law interacts with you will affect your life. These things will affect you eventually. If you undertake any kind of action in future, which is counter-regime, these things will affect you. A lot of, like, the ha-ha journalist ratioed on Twitter stuff will not affect you. It does not matter, and it is ultimately, like, brain rot.
I mean, I think for one last final thing, we can maybe just once again suggest that Elon isn't going to save you, and we can leave it at that.
No. Yeah, I will very much say that... The idea...
But there's no expansions required. It's just not going to save you.
DeSantis, Elon, Kanye, Trump, no one is going to reach down from above and save you.
No.
None of these people have even the will to stop these things, never mind the means. There is nobody really in the UK in an elite position who is talking about the interlocking power of all these policing bills from a kind of normal dissident man in the street, pub man, angry with immigration aspect, as we talked about last week with the cultural nationalists and the fact that MI5 believes that people who were a bit shonky about immigration are actually terrorists and are committing an offence by voicing that. So that's... we don't run around saying the sky is falling. We try and provide you with, in their own words, all of what is going on. But just the sheer expansion of British law since the pandemics began, since the lockdown started, has been alarming. We talked about it at the time that this would be used to cover up the passing of egregious laws, and it has been. It very much has been. It has been used to create a legal framework at breakneck speed to interface with all these other things we talked about. And again, do not see these as isolated and accidental. The Bank of England stuff is related to the crime and punishment stuff, which is very now overtly related to the online harm stuff. That is a policing bill, as I keep insisting, and because it's true, they even put it in the crime category, the crime and legal category themselves. It's very much a tapestry, and in isolation, these things can be fobbed off as either bad legislation, overzealous ministers, or
I'm
incompetence
sorry, but
or overreach.
we have to overlook the digital panopticon formalizing itself into one institution and body of laws because, as Ben Gales just said, just wait until Trump tweets Gamergate 2.0.
There's also a lot of people like I oh God, who was it who was mentioned earlier? It was Douglas Murray, that's it. Someone said Douglas realized that Douglas Murray was an absolute dribbler. And
You just need to look up the Henry Jones Society. For anyone who knows about the Mallard, will know about them.
yes, I would again try to keep your ears to the ground. One of the most useful things you can do is try and look at your local news sources, look at what your local council is doing, and keep an eye on what is being put in parliament because we will miss stuff. And it's not glamorous. It's slightly boring, but if you want to utilize your autisms, scrutinize the bills. Most journalists don't read the contents of bills. If you have the mind for it, if you have the patience for it, do try and actually read these bills. And yes, Spoon, that was you. But it wasn't just you. I've had a three or four messages today about Douglas Murray because he's absolutely shat his pants publicly, like a little bit like Sam Harris did, which is
Great.
funny. But we will do less know who your friends are because we already did that stream. But
Yes.
just keep in mind that you will have to do this stuff because no one else will. You will have to research these bills because no one else will. You will have to scrutinize this stuff and try and figure out
Or
ways
the
of commerce
alternative,
here.
of course, is throw us a couple of quid and we'll do it for you.
Well, that as well. We will help you. We'll try and report, but like, you are responsible for, you're not completely on your own. Form communities, but really people aren't doing this stuff. So try and scrutinize it as much as you can because I'm always amazed by how little this is covered, how little the extremely impactful legislation is talked about. People just keep tilting at the rainbows. Again, we're repeating ourselves here, but as we're doing that, I will say thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you to everyone who comes to these streams. Thank you to everyone who is a longtime follower. Everyone who's a member and a supporter. You do make these more possible, and you do make them a little less painful in terms of time investment. What I'm trying to say is thank you guys for coming to the stream. Keep what don't you know? It's very much like keep watching the skies, but keep watching the bills. Have you got nothing else to shill, Evelyn?
Keep reading the tea leaves.
Yes.
Keep schizo posting.
Keeps kids so posting.
And summon the algorithm gods.
We will have some more guests on at some point.
But we should have some more. I shall say more interesting, as if we aren't interesting on our own. No, there should be some hopefully decently planned streams towards the start of next year. Some that have been delayed for a while. Some that will bring some new people on. So we'll see what that's like, and we'll bid you all a good evening.
Yes. Have a good evening. Goodbye. Just usually have me on. I'm fun. We'll have.
Mwah.